you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
How you doing?
All right.
Bob Hansen from Santa Barbara.
Bob Hansen from Santa Barbara. I'm glad you got through. Were you having trouble getting through before?
Yeah, I tried around 10 o'clock, a little after 10, and I kept getting busy.
Ah.
You guys are really busy up there.
We were very busy, and actually we had the, I think it was either the phone off the hook or the ringer was screwed up. I appreciate your trying again. Unfortunately, the people you were going to talk to, the guy is taken off, but maybe we can still talk to you. Maybe some people are listening to you on the radio. Bob, you're what, longtime homeless activist in Santa Barbara. You struggled to humanize the sleeping band down there in 1986. You're a carpenter. You're a public speaker. You've run for mayor many times. You've been arrested many, many times. In fact, you're known as Protest Bob.
Right.
And you actually were part of a caravan across the country in 1988. What was that march called? What was it all about?
It was the homeless and poor people's peace march to Washington, D.C., just to bring awareness that they're not talking about that issue, you know, during the presidential race. So we were trying to, you know, keep the issue alive. And so we walked about 15 miles a day, started in Santa Barbara on Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th, and arrived just the day before the election in Washington, D.C.
And do you think that had much impact? Were you hassled as you went across the country? Were there arrests for illegal sleeping and things of that sort?
No, they treated us with kid gloves. I think that the people that saw us saw that we were, you know, doing something, which I think they appreciated. We always had money in our kitty. You know, people came forward and helped us out all the way along. We picked up aluminum cans. I think, you know, it was worth it. It, you know, kept the issue alive, and I think people saw that we wanted to you know, do something for the people that, without homes in America.
How many of you were there on this caravan?
Well, there was roughly about 15 of us all the way across. You know, some people would come and go and this and that. And,
men, women, and children?
Yeah, there was about three or four children off and on, and there was about three ladies off and on. And then there was some older people that were up in their 60s and younger people down in their, you know, 20s. And so, you know, most of the people were semi-young, you know, under 30. And we had our, you know, disagreements and stuff, but it was, you know, it was a successful walk. And
you literally walked across the country.
Right. It took us about 9.5 months.
Wow. And you called this march?
The Homeless and Poor People's Peace March to Washington, D.C.
And indeed, it was. This was 2 years after the Come to the Fig Tree, Go to Sleep, Go to Jail campaign resulted in an end, at least in some areas, to the city's sleeping ban in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, somewhat, but still they... As soon as the meeting was over, they started creeping back on to, you know, erase some of the stuff. And even just yesterday, a friend and myself, Cobblestone Colin and myself, talked to Sandra LaSager, who is the city administrator who runs the city. And she said, no, you can't sleep on unapproved property. We go, well, isn't that the intention? I just talked to the mayor 2 weeks ago, and she said you can have your bedroll in which you can feasibly carry with yourself and sleep on unimproved city property. So she denied it, and then about 5 minutes into the conversation, she said, well, if it's not posted, you know, so if it's posted, you can't, which would be, you know, fire hazard or closed from 10 at night until 6 in the morning.
You know, actually, what you're talking about now is the current situation in Santa
right.
Barbara, and what I was referring
okay.
to is the situation in 1986 when, in fact, for 3 years, as I understand it, from 86 to 89, with the exception of the parks and the beaches, it was legal to sleep on public property, whether developed or undeveloped, in Santa Barbara when they ended that sleeping provision of the sleeping ban. Is that accurate?
Yeah, but still, they immediately started putting signs up in a lot of the public places, like around City Hall or buildings down by the beach. And so, just like even this, you know, talking about unimproved city property, they posted. So, as we talked to her yesterday, we were saying, hey, you can feasibly have your bedroll and what you can carry with you. She goes, yes, that's, you know, so it's not considered camping. So they're trying to define camping.
That is, in fact, Bob, what we're trying to do here in Santa Cruz is get the law changed so that the act of sleeping itself is not illegal, the act of covering up with blankets is not illegal, and carrying, you know, your possessions with you in a blanket and a sleeping bag is not evidence of, quote, camping. But we can't get the mayor to even look at this, Mayor Mike Rodkin, because he says that if the law were changed, everybody and his mother would come to Santa Cruz. Now, did that happen in Santa Barbara when the law changed in 1986?
No. Same people, basically. People will drift in during the wintertime a little bit, but, you know, there was hardly any influx. If anything, they have gotten tougher just by, you know, having bicycle cops and getting you for throwing a cigarette butt down or just, you know, so they've gotten crazier, while really the influx of people really hasn't changed. They are so afraid that they're, you know, that something going to happen. People can flee, or people are going to gather, or people are going to come, or whatever. But you at least have to have the right to sleep. I mean, they can get you quotes for panhandling if they want. They can get you for doing open containers or whatever. But at night, when the sun goes down and everyone else is sleeping in the world, that's, you know, that's the right of everyone to go to sleep.
Indeed, you would think that it's an unreasonable regulation of even if you claim that, you know, that you can regulate hours of panhandling or places of panhandling. For example, in Santa Cruz, it's illegal to peacefully ask for money after dark anywhere in the city. Mm-hmm. Although that law, as I have not yet heard of that specific provision being enforced, but it is on the books thanks to the Liberal City Council and its 1994 vote. Yet sleeping, one line of attack that's been suggested is, in Santa Cruz particularly, and I guess in Santa Barbara too, it's criminal to sleep in the nighttime hours. Right. Because in 1989, even though you had writ your city council at the after a mass protest threat by Mitch Snyder and a great, you know, a massive organizing by yourself and the Creative Community for Nonviolence and the Legal Defense Center and Will Hastings down there, and endless testimony from social service providers at city council meetings, great financial donations from Kit Tremaine, academic support from the University of California at Santa Barbara and Rob Rosenthal and others, writers like Peter Marin, support from media and national media, which was located at the Reagan White House at that time, and also support from Hollywood figures. You had some famous Hollywood people like Martin Sheen and Cher and so forth, mm-hmm. who were actually showing up at your sleepouts.
Right.
You had all this going. There was a change in the sleeping law. For 3 years, it was legal to sleep on at least some public property in some areas. And then in 1989, a reactionary judge ruled that, no, camping, as a matter of definition, includes the word sleeping, and therefore any form of sleeping is now a form of camping. And you then started a second sleep out at City Hall in 1990, perhaps similar to the 65-day-long sleep out we have here currently going on in Santa Cruz. What happened with that sleep out, Bob?
Well, it started out, you know, well organized and with good intentions. But then after a while, people start, you know, wearing down, and kind of it gets a little disorganized. Kind of at the very end of the sleep out, there weren't that many people, and then some of the more rowdy, aggressive people on the street kind of, you know, were in the sleeping area there and kind of taking, bullying their ideas around. So it was quite difficult at the very end, but in the beginning, for the first couple of months, it had a good spirit and all. At the end, it, you know, kind of petered out. But all in all, you know, even the media kind of, you know, said, "Hey, it's a bunch of bums out here at City Hall." But all we were asking, "Hey, it's where, you know, where can we sleep? Can we sleep?" You know, it was the simple question. You know, it's like,
Now you were part of that sleep out yourself, right?
Right.
Were you there almost every night, or what was your situation?
I was probably there 75% of the time.
And did you receive tickets, and were you subject to arrest because of your actions there?
No, because they basically, we could sleep there somewhat. They kind of let us do the demonstration because City Hall is a place where you can't come with grievances, so they kind of accepted that. But
again,
there was a few people that, you know, they started putting signs up, and they got them for putting their foot on the City Hall steps and things like that.
Well, I understand there was a specific law that said what the camp...